to remember the holiday by evening time with an all-caps Easter message screaming accusations of election interference, attacking Special Counsel Jack Smith, Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis, and Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg. He did manage to get in a happy Easter before going off the rails, but it is fitting that Trump would make the Easter holiday all about him. He has perverted his own persecution complex over, well, everything, into a full-blown Messiah narrative where he himself is Jesus. One post linked to a Washington Examiner op-ed titled "The Crucifixion of Donald Trump." Another was a link to the right-wing conspiracy site Gateway Pundit that proclaimed him the chosen one, sent and blessed by God. Now, we all know that Donald Trump has probably never so much as cracked a Bible to know anything about the real Jesus, whose Sermon on the Mount advocated tenets like turning the other cheek and loving one's enemies. Because Trump is the kind of Messiah who gets his followers to violate the first commandment about having no other gods before God, and who fantasizes on social media posts about kidnapping and hog-tying the real president in the flatbed of a pickup truck decorated with idolatrous MAGA flags. Or at least that's the message he endorsed on Good Friday when he shared a video with that image, amplifying the violent imagery and rhetoric he's normalized and passed on to his most ardent MAGA fans. As the New York Times noted, photos of trucks featuring similar images of Mr. Biden tied up have been shared across social media, and online vendors sell vehicle stickers with the image, probably to people who call themselves Christians.
Your service on Sunday, the pastor talked about the question, what must I do to make it to the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said, you must, of course, love God, and you must love your neighbor as yourself. And he was asked directly, who is my neighbor? And what did Jesus do? He picked the despised Samaritan. He picked the foreigner. He picked the person that nobody he was talking to would want to stop by. That's who your neighbor is. Just like when people ask Jesus, why do you hang out with the dregs of society? What did Jesus say? He said, I didn't come here to like heal the healthy. I came here to heal the sick. So all of this other talk, all of this other, like the others, is the antithesis of everything Jesus talked about through the entire Bible.
They, you know, this is Manson stuff, where you stop saying worship God and you start saying, I am God. I am God is what Trump is saying to his followers. Why are they believing it?
Yeah, Julie, in a lighthearted way, you'd simply say Donald Trump is jealous of Jesus, all the attention given to Jesus Christ by the Christians of the world yesterday. But look, this conversation is going pretty deep, and I think you put your thumb on something in this conversation very important. Donald Trump is praying with an EY on the fallibility of faith, right? The whole notion of faith, of Christian faith, Muslim faith, whatever it might be, is that you are putting your trust in something you cannot see, and you are walking by faith and not by sight. And what Donald Trump is doing is saying, wait a minute, let me show you all these reasons you should doubt your faith and you should trust me and you should follow me. That is dangerous. I mean, take the trans proclamation, for instance. It is a weakening of faith to suggest that the Christian world should be concerned about that. People of weak faith are concerned about the actions of government. People of strong faith yesterday know that they have put their faith in a deity that they have entrusted their lives and the future of the world to. Regardless of one's faith, it's a concept that is easily understood. This idea faith. And Donald Trump seizes on the fallibility and creates doubt and then suggests he's the one. He alone can fix all the problems you face when it requires an abandonment of the deity that you have previously put your trust in for those fixes.
I think every movement has to figure out who they can persuade and who they must defeat at the ballot box. So I think there are persuadable people out there. I'm going to go and meet them all over the country. You're trying a book tour into a town meeting tour on faith and democracy. And I'm going to talk to lots of people, and I want to bring them back to the story. What did Jesus say? What did he mean? And you can't keep saying you're a believer. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I tell you? So that's the question. And I want to have a debate on faith, because I think faith could be a factor now in these weeks and months ahead. And the fact that it's Easter makes it even more significant. So I know the history of those people. I come from that background, right? But I had to find Jesus outside of my white church, white neighborhood, white school. The whiteness is an idol. And in the phrase white evangelical, the defining word there is not evangelical. It's white. And that has to change. And I think we can change it. And I think we can transform people, but also we can help people find the language. I want this book to be a tool for people. Find the text, find the language, find the ways to speak about this. Because we're all influencers. People talk to their family and their friends. Everybody can do something. This book is my 2 cents. but I want others to offer their 2 cents. And I believe in a God who increases the value of our 2 cents.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies. Because we're going medieval on these people. Christians not got a free shot on all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
It's Tuesday, 2nd of April, year of our Lord, 2024. They're coming in all guns blazing. These super religious, deeply, deeply Christian, these super religious, this is going to be very hard for me to get there because I'm going to be laughing. The deeply religious, super Christian, the people that are worried about the church and about the Christian faith over at MSNBC, deeply, deeply worried about this. It's all about Christian nationalism and for a reason. What did the former congressman say there? People of strong Christian faith don't need to get involved in politics. People of weak faith, it's the weak faith people that get involved. They are so, the fear, you can smell the fear now. This is what's so great about it. I also want to say, I just want to make a observation on our favorite morning show, Morning Mika, has now shifted to, it's Amy Semple Brzezinski and Billy Sunday Scarborough. I mean, they got the old-time religion. They got the old-time religion. Folks, if you have not seen it, one of my favorite films, and I think one of the greatest films ever made, Elmer Gantry. Burt Lancaster as a Billy Sunday type character, Elmer Gantry. And Gene Simmons, and I think in the greatest female role that was not nominated for Best Actress, she plays Sister Susan Falconer in a stunning performance. And if you have not seen that film, you ought to see it, because it's got a deeply religious undertone to it, although on the surface it's all about how bad the evangelical Christians are and what a ripoff the movement to have, you know, people going around in tents and giving revivals. The revivalist movement of the early 19th century, I think it was off of Sinclair Lewis's novel, of which he always saw the surface of things and kind of ripped him apart, but it's very deeply religious. And those characters were based upon Billy Sunday. The Elmer Gantry character is based upon Billy Sunday, and the Sister Susan Falconer, in this, like I said, stunning performance, is based upon Amy Semple McPherson, who was the top female evangelist of the early 20th century. So you got Amy Semple Brzezinski, because she's gone all in, and you got Billy Sunday Scarborough. Do you think it's by there? Remember, there's no conspiracies, but there's no coincidences. In seeing how demonic their side is and how purely satanic their side is, and the evil ones with those like a serpent with the tongues, they are absolutely stunned now, and they can't pull their coalition together. And one of the reasons they can't pull their coalition together, and if you look at the crosstabs, they're getting slaughtered, is because African-American and Hispanics are saying, the economics, you're crushing us on the economics. You're crushing us on the ability to actually make a better life for ourselves. You're trying to replace us with this invasion of these illegal alien invaders. But as importantly, they believe in traditional values, and they understand, because they are true believers in not just go to church and support their faith, they also try and attempt to raise their family with those values. And they understand in this new Marxism, but with the Cultural Revolution, the Mao Cultural Revolution that Jack Posobiec, it goes through so brilliantly in the book Unhuman. When that comes out, and you ought to try to pre-order it, because Jack goes through all of this. I mean, how many people over the last couple of years have we had here, you know, from the Moms for Liberty, the Moms for America, all the groups at the PTAs? You saw it. Don't take it from me. You saw it. You saw the books they're trying to put in there. You're seeing the propaganda they're trying to do. You see the grooming. People see that. That's why the African-American community, Hispanic community are not buying. And now it's all, oh, Jesus, Trump holds himself up as Jesus. Trump doesn't do that. Trump never does that. That's not Trump. Now, Trump is an instrument of divine providence. I was there. I was a witness to it. I saw it in 16. I saw it throughout the White House. He's an instrument of divine providence, and that's what they hate. They hate that, so they're going after him to tear him down, to destroy him, because they understand they have to destroy him. They have to destroy him because they're trying to put fear in everybody else. Well, fear not. Billy Sunday Scarborough, check that quote out. Fear not, right? We're not afraid. In fact, we're getting more empowered. And people are now more and more comfortable saying, yes, I am a believer. I'm a traditional Catholic, or I'm a evangelical Christian. And I understand that I have to use my agency, and I have to use my faith to inform not just what is out there in the material world, but also to take an active role in it, because if you don't, the whole thing's going to be destroyed. This is why I say divine providence had its hand in the 2016 election, but also in 2020. The big steal. God himself had a role in this, because we would have never seen. People have said, well, it's just Republicans and Democrats. It's not that. It's something far deeper. It is a Marxist, a neo-Marxist, atheistic revolution on the other side. Don't take it from me. Look at Sunday, and now Biden's trying to run. I didn't know it. Biden says, I didn't know I put out a proclamation. I didn't say anything about Transgender Visibility Day. Yet the admiral, the dude, the guy that's dressed like a, you know, with the bad hairdo, the one that wears the, was he the Surgeon General? He's something. He runs around with a Navy uniform on. He's saying, no, it was great. It was fantastic. It was a big success. Yeah, it was such a success, you're running away from it. No. This is now the Christian nationalists. And Sojourner, the guy there, Wallace, the false white gospel, all gets back to your whiteness. Remember, it all gets back. The railhead of all the evil that you embody is your whiteness. That's you. It's your whiteness. The false white gospel. They got to do this, because I told you, the Christians are going to be called Christian nationalists, and they're going to say, no, you're actually white supremacists, and they're going to add it all into a pot, right? Add it all into a pot. But this is the reason they're talking, and it's just talk. It has no meaning to it, because they don't believe it. You could tell it. Everything they put up there, all the barbarity that they believe in, all the freaks and perverts they put up all the time, all of it. You think that's the deep Christian myth? They don't believe this. This is just another element, another arrow in the quiver for them politically. And the reason they're pulling all the crossbows out and hitting us all at one time is they're panicked. They're panicked. Everything they've tried has failed. Trump is not just back. He's back bigger than ever. MAGA, in fact, after being debanked and deplatformed and all of it, MAGA is back more than ever. And you know one of the reasons MAGA is back? Because in those dark days of 2021, people really went back and said, hey, I've got to really dig deep on this. And when I dig deep on this, I dig down to the bedrock of my faith, whether it's evangelical Christianity or traditional Catholicism. I dig down deep, deep. And upon that foundation, upon that rock, you rebuilt this movement. And now we're bigger than ever, we're more powerful than ever, and we're coming for them more than ever. Short commercial break. Back in the war room in a moment. The so-called financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year, and then the inflation data came out higher than expected. Friends, this isn't going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion plus in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metals specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Do it today. Action, action, action.
Donald Trump as a religious figure, Michael Bender, I found your article today so interesting because I've been to like 100 more Donald Trump rallies, and they have a certain religious fervor to them. They always have. But there is something notably different now. Tell me what you've observed.
Yeah, it's these like last 10 or 15 minutes of his rally. I mean, these rallies have long been known as for being raucous and volatile and off script. But now they change. Is a very big tone shift in these last few minutes for his finale. It gets very reverent. Soft, reflective music plays throughout the arena, and he kind of recites this fairly tightly scripted, especially for former President Trump, a kind of political creed for his MAGA nation. And I grew up Catholic. It reminded me a little bit of the Nicene Creed we used to say in church. And but I've had other people describe this to me as no, this is an altar call at the end of a lot of Christian services. This kind of ambient music plays, and people come down and proclaim their faith and in their Lord and Savior. And Trump has really. This is how he's positioned himself in this third campaign. He is he is very careful not to call himself a Jesus figure, but he very much presents himself as the one true Republican leader. And we've seen this at multiple levels of the party, him replacing supporters at the Republican National Committee with people who are even more loyal to him, arm twisting in Congress to get people to back off endorsements or to back off legislation that might be harmful to his campaign. And among the rank and file level, this is how he does it. He's turned his rallies into a sort of aesthetic church-like experience, and supporters eat it up. I mean, they are at the end of the rallies, you'll see people kind of bow their heads, hold their arms close to their chest, and almost like they're praying along with them.
Because it's a spiritual war, and they understand that. The working class in this country, the middle class in this country, understand exactly what this is about. It's going to manifest itself in many different ways. It's going to manifest itself in the physical world. And you're using your agency in the physical world. People understand that. The common sense and, quite frankly, the knowledge and the deep spirituality of a large portion of our country. Yep. Yep. Particularly as you get down to the bedrock of society, the foundational element of our civic society. What Edmund Burke called the little platoons. That's all imbued with a deep spiritual understanding of what this country is, of what the New Jerusalem is, what it means, what it stands for. The importance of bequeathing it as a constitutional republic down to our progeny, and what we owe of everyone of all those generations of what 12 and 13, 14 generations that have bequeathed it to us. The reason they're nervous is Ralph Reed. Remember, Ralph Reed said, "We're putting in $60 million, and we're going to finally get to those 30 million evangelical Christians and traditional Catholics that are just out of the system. They're not." Low information voters, low propensity voters, they've kind of punched out. They've kind of punched out, and they're living their lives, and they're living their lives along the value set that they believe in. And they haven't, they may have been awakened, but they haven't been to the part that they think they have to participate in this. They need to participate in this. That's one of the things Ralph Reed's doing. I would rather spend our time and money there than chasing, and all these people come and you got to modify your message because you got to chase college-educated white women, college-educated suburban women, college-age women of color, I mean college graduate, not age, college graduate women, all the Karens, the women of color. You just march. You're going to pick up a few, but it's just a waste of time and money. That's not going to change. They think Trump personifies the patriarchy. I said this years ago when Oprah Winfrey first was talking about this. It started with the Me Too movement, but went to which I thought in Hollywood needed to happen. And obviously a lot of people, I didn't think as many as I thought were going to be, were all at it by the oppression that they put on women in the industry. But it started with the Me Too movement, even in corporate America, Me Too movement. And then it went to the Time's Up movement. The Time's Up, as I said at the time, is time up on the patriarchy. So they can come in, and they do. All the consultants, they try to modify Trump's message. Oh, no, you got to modify it here on the social conservative. You got to do this. You got to do that because you got to get the suburban women. Well, says who? Says who? The ones that are gettable are out there that can listen to the message of MAGA and the message of President Trump. But some of that message they're just not going to relate to, and they're not going to vote for you. Yet, you have a very deep, deep well of support out there that are people just not part of the process. And if President Trump's movement means anything, is that, hey, you have a role in this process, not a small role, a huge role. It's you that it's upon your shoulders that you lift him up and said, hey, we understand. It wasn't the wealthy. That gathering next week or this week with the billionaires, they all dumped him. We played the cut last night, I think, on the show. They all dumped him. They went on to Nelson Peltz and all that crowd. They went on to bigger and better things. No, Trump's terrible. Trump's awful. It was at that first CPAC that he saw my people. That's what he calls them, my people. You've been there and you've been in the breach. And why have you been in the breach? The vast majority of you have deep religious and spiritual yearnings and practices. And you understand that it's inextricably linked with how you're in the world, but not of it. You're in the world, but not of it. But being in the world, you understand that there's some grimy stuff that has to happen. Wars are fought. Political movements are supported. You know, you're not in a monastery. This is not a monastic existence. Your lived Christianity, I think, shows you that. And that's why there's tons of your compatriots out there, tens of millions who are aligned with us. That's what they understand. These people, remember, when you're dealing with satanic and demonic forces, they're plenty smart. Everybody comes into our camp, stand these people are so stupid. No, they're very cunning. They're not good people, but they're very cunning and very smart. And they understand. Why do you think they're coming? I said this for months and months and months over the last year. They're going to eventually get down to Christians and Christian nationalism. Why? Because they understand it's an unstoppable force, that the Christian movement in the Judeo-Christian West. And we're not saying everybody in the country has got to be Christian. Far from it. I'm a big believer in that people got to come to their own individual destinies themselves. That's what you're put on this earth. You got to work it through yourself. And if you work it through with another faith, then hey, that's your judgment. We live in a country, a constitutional republic of free men and free women. You've got to, but one day you're going to be judged. You're going to be weighed and measured, right? You're going to be weighed and measured. And you got to make that individual decision. But this country is the power of the working class, the power of the little guy, the common man. What President Trump says is the forgotten man and woman. The power, that's everything. Everything in this country that's ever gone right is when the forgotten man and woman finally said, okay, I've had enough of what's going on, put their shoulder to the wheel, and the country goes to the next level. Remember, all this happy talk about unity and you got to bring the country together, the country's been, people like Ronald Reagan and President Lincoln and even General Washington were very divisive figures when they were alive. Remember, General Washington, they were trying to cashier him. Three quarters of the time he was head of the Continental Army, they were trying to get rid of him. politician stabbing him back, his own general stabbing him in the back. You think he had an easy role? He did not have an easy, he did not have an easy ride. It was quite tough. But Washington and Lincoln and Reagan were quite divisive when they were in office. Of course, all the media now says, oh, Ronald, they're trying to paint this glow on Ronald Reagan. They hated him and they fought him every day. They hated his guts. I was there. I had a ringside seat for that one, too, at the Pentagon as a junior officer. I saw the hate and vitriol when he said, hey, how about we win, they lose? And Jamie Raskin's dad and all these people that all want to get Putin, take their money and steal their money and crush the Russian people, do all this. They were all supporting the Soviet Union at the time. They all supported the Soviet Union. All of them. Let's have rapprochement. Let's have detente. They're a more powerful nation. Oh, they're command economy. Oh, look at this. There's, you know, this and that and the other thing. No, they supported them all. Raskin's dad being one of the worst. A flat out, a flat out Marxist communist. Notice all those guys that fought Reagan the most, all of them now, oh, it's like Russia. All of them supported the Soviet Union, the Bolsheviks. Now, why is that? Let me think. Maybe it was because the Bolsheviks and the Soviets were atheists. Yeah, okay, I got it. I think I got it now. I think I'm seeing some pattern recognition. The people on MSNBC are godless. Their God is the material world. They don't care a whit about Christianity. They don't care a whit about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, full stop. And the embarrassment of seeing Amy Semple Brzezinski and Billy Sunday Scarborough preaching to you about how, what is it, the whiteness is the island, bringing on some guy, the false white gospel. Once again, you're going to get drilled with this. It's not simply, I told you, it's not simply Christian nationalism. It's white superiority, white dominance, Christian nationalism. They've met the enemy and they is you. Embrace that. Understand it. And don't think that they're trying to take the and proclaim the gospel of the living Lord, our Jesus Christ, upon the earth. Because they would be quite happy if their mission succeeded that no Christians came to the pole. What kind of country you think you'd have then? You know what kind of country you'd have then? You'd have what happened last week in New York City and Washington, D.C. That's what kind of country you'd have. A country of anarchy and chaos, demonic spirits, and an absolute disgrace to the revolutionary generation and the great people upon whose shoulders, the giants upon whom we stand. Short break, back in a minute in the world. Who can you trust? Government leaders repeatedly fail us. Self-appointed experts have led us astray. Distrust in so-called authorities is spreading like a bad cold. We can't quite shake it, but you are not as powerless as they'd like you to believe. When there's no one to depend on, it's time to rely and depend on yourself. Not sure where to start? Well, try this. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Grab a four-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply for just $60 off. Think about that, $60 off right now. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families reach self-reliance. I want you to think about that. Reach self-reliance. These food kits offer meals, drinks, and snacks that provide over 2,000 calories every single day, sealed inside heavy-duty packaging that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and protect your future with as many kits as you need. These kits ship fast, free, and arrive in unmarked boxes. With My Patriot Supply, when you order by 3 p.m., your food kits will ship the same day. Save $60 per kit. That is $60 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. Take action. Use your agency. Action, action, action.
A lot of people, at least with the way you put it, it's almost like you, I didn't tell you I was going to ask this. It's almost like you knew. Here's the quote, recent to the New York Times. A suspicion of mine, James Carville, quote, is there's too many, quote, preachy females. Don't drink beer. Don't watch football. Don't eat hamburgers. This is not good for you. The message you went on to say is, quote, too feminine. AOC, among others, have pushed back, basically right. saying that you're not helping,
right.
that you're wrong to say preachy females, that you're right. sort of trafficking in something. And she said, if you want to spend your time like this, maybe you should just start a podcast and join what is, potentially the other uninformed bro style podcast. Are you doing addition when you put it that way? What is your response to her criticism?
Obviously, it was premeditated. I knew what I was saying. I knew what I was saying. Maureen got it exactly right. And by the way, how many times do you watch a panel on this network? And the key vote here is going to be the women's vote. It's women of color. No, it's suburban women. It's just, when have I ever heard someone say, you know, the male vote's going to be pretty important here. We got to, you know, that's 48% of the electorate. And again, I'm a believer in addition and multiplication, and I did not Biden, but I think some Democratic vapors are far too metropolitan and far too condescending to people.
I understand that, but you didn't just say let's open up and be balanced.
You said
too feminine.
It comes across, if you listen to MSNBC or you listen to NPR, I'm sorry, that is what you hear. And there is this whole thing about you. You see that in focus groups, particularly with young males of color. They always try and tell me what to do. I just want to go home. You know, I work 8 hours a day, you know, at the tire store, and I want to drink beer and watch football.
Are you talking about branding, though? You're saying this is alienating as a brand? Because you also support women's rights and politicians.
I went to Kansas and campaigned. I think I was the only national Democrat to go to Kansas and campaign on the vote.
On that issue, yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is that you gotta, the way that this comes across is it's, you know, we use these words with a disaster, and some men were in it, but a lot of, you know, this Latinx foolishness, this defund the police foolishness, which was really caused damage to the party brand. I'm sorry. It just did. And, you know, sometimes this can surprise you. Sometimes I go out on a limb and say provocative things. But what I was trying to do is bring attention to the fact that we're losing males. Mm-hmm. You know what? I succeeded. You know, I've been very vocal about this. It's horrifying. Our numbers among younger voters, Latinos or whatever, but whatever, younger people of color, particularly males, we're not shedding them. They're leaving in the droves.
They're leaving in the droves. So James Carville gives them basically a metaphorical shotgun blast. Too feminine, too many, in his words, not mine, too many preachy females. Too many preachy females. You might take your number two pencil out there, Amy Semple Brzezinski, and just write that one down in pencil. From Rome, Ben Harnwell. Ben, your thoughts about all of this, sir?
Morning, Steve. Well, look, Carville, I think, was the chief strategist for Bill Clinton back in 92, when the Democrats, back in the days when Democrats actually legitimately won elections. And you can hear in his analysis there, I think Ari Melber, who's not a schmuck. You have a lot of schmuck commentators on the left. Ari Melber's not one of them. But if I were him in that situation, I would have just stopped talking totally and listened to everything that James Carville was saying, because he was absolutely right. And I think his analysis is pretty much exactly the same as the analysis that you would hear on the war room about the fact that he's choosing his words, obviously, because he's a Democrat strategist. But the Democratic Party has been taken over by this woke movement, and it has ignored the vast majority of where ordinary America is, where ordinary Americans are. And, of course, nature abhors a vacuum. So what has come in now is this Trump movement, and people like Carver are looking at this taking place in real time, and they're realizing that the Democrats have a problem, especially with Joe Biden now at the front of the ticket. And you can hear sort of the strains of panic in his voice. But people aren't listening, Steve, because they've switched off. They are so morally convinced of their righteousness, on their rightness on this issue. They're not letting any other facts come in. So, you know, I'm not going to give advice to the Democratic Party, but it's there. The truth and the reality of what's going to happen in November is there for all to see. And those with a brain on the Democrat side, they can see this, and they're trying to ring that 3 a.m. fire alarm. But you can see, Steve, that few people are listening to him.
What about the outright assault on traditional Catholics and evangelical Christians? You know, when you had Father James Martin, or where they got all these not liberals, but these radical progressives, either in the evangelical Christian, like this guy Wallace from Sojourners. He's another lefty. You know, your problem that stands between you and a real acceptance of Jesus Christ is your whiteness. They're going to have all that rolled out. You're having all the attacks on the traditional Catholics. What about that? Is that out of fear? Are they trying to help us? Are they trying to assist our brothers and sisters here? Or are they fear this rising movement that understands the importance of the Christian message in a political aspect, in a political reality, because it manifests itself in the material world?
Well, look, we call these people sociopathic overlords. Constantly, one of the symptoms of being a sociopath, or even a psychopath, like, one of the symptoms of that mental condition, and that's not like just a cute phraseology that we bring out on the womb, that represents a real reality here. One of the consequences of that condition is you have zero self-awareness. So you have an inability to read a room, and you're just sort of obviously obsessed by yourself. And that is the condition of these sort of democratic talking heads here. And again, you have to draw a distinction between that and the Clinton Carville strategy back in 92, which was to expand your penetration as far as you can, to widen your appeal as far as you can, so that you can win the White House from Bush 41. What is going on now is a drilling down. It's a tripling down right into the core center of wokeness. Because, as I say, these people can't read a room. They can't read a room, so they can't read the country. They think the country is with them. They thought that the country was going to be with them when they did a bait and switch from Easter Sunday being the day where Christians celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They did a pivot from that to International Trans Day. And these people, as I say, they're sociopaths. They thought that the whole of the country would be there cheering them on, their moral superiority and their moral vision. People have switched off on these people because they realize that they're not just on the cusp of lunacy. These people are so far gone. So you have this contrast between the Carville Clinton widen appeal and then the present approach, which is just let's double down as far as we can into the center of this woke core. And of course the consequence of that is and you know, obviously they are running scared, as you were intimating, that is this illustrates the fact that Donald Trump now is driving the agenda with regards to the Christian element and the nationalist element, and bringing the two together as a unified concept. How do you know that Donald Trump is driving this agenda? Because they're quoting the gospel on MSNBC. Steve, now, 10 years ago, this would have been literally unthinkable. This would be like sort of flicking sort of holy water on the diabolically possessed. And yet there they are. They are quoting the gospel. Why? Because they realize that they've so vacated the center ground that they have to come and try and win it back in one degree or another. But of course, what they don't realize is that after decades of this hijacking of the Christian message by the sort of globalist, woke, progressive ideology, actual believing Christians have switched off, and they're not listening anymore to all of the corrupted and controlled Christian leaders. That's why they've seen Donald Trump, who, like, you know, we're all sinners, but that's why they see in Donald Trump a person who's not perfect, but they know he's not bowing to them. He will not bow to these people and give them the moral credence they so crave, which is why they are reduced to trying to try to claw back some of the Christian agenda by saying, here we are, you know, we're not antithetical towards the gospel. We'll quote it on MSNBC. But be aware, they say, that Donald Trump and his Christian nationalism is really a subversive movement for white nationalism. Of course, it won't work, Steve, because, as I say, people have switched off from listening to them.
That was the most brilliant assessment. This is by Ben's, our international editor. You bring up a brilliant point. During the reign of Obama, if MSNBC in the entire day had quoted anything from the New Testament, the person would have been immediately fired. This shows you. And Trump, look, Trump is not a churchy guy. I'm not a particularly churchy guy. Trump is not a churchy guy. He's just not. He's not. But people see that. And that's why you are seeing at the rallies. And it's not just the last 15 minutes, which they've kind of programmed on certain of the rallies. And there's two today in Michigan and in Wisconsin. And Real America's Voice and The War will be there. Jane Zirkle's actually with David Zier and the crew. They're in Wisconsin. I think there's also the Michigan rally. The Trump people understand because they've seen the last couple of years the lived experience of the outright assault on decency, the outright assault on the family, the outright assault on their faith, the outright assault on this country of trying to tear down the very core traditional values that made this country what it is. The people see that. That's where they're getting very spiritual. And that's why at these rallies, you're seeing a real spiritual component of this, because at the end of the day, this is a spiritual war. We talk about it all the time here, and it's manifesting itself. And they realize now that it's adding up to votes. And you're absolutely correct. The probability they would have quoted the Gospels in the reign of Obama is zero. But now they're desperate, and they got a counter program here. Ben, hang on. You're going to stick with me for a while. We got a lot more to go through. But that was any closing thoughts on that as we go to break, Ben Hart? We got about a minute.
Yeah, I just want to say the fact that they are reacting to Donald Trump now shows not just the panic that is setting in, Steve, but the fact that the Democrats now are really thinking like an opposition and not like a governing party. And that's not because of a strategy. It's because they have no merits of their administration of the White House for the last 4 years to be able to present to the country as they seek a second mandate. It just shows the absolute loss of control that Donald Trump has come in and taken, and that's why he's driving the agenda.
This is once again why Ben is also a brilliant political strategist. He's just nailed something that's very important, the quiet part. Everything you're seeing from these people right now is like a party in opposition, not driving the agenda. Trump and MAGA is driving the agenda. It just not portends for November. We got to look. They're going to try to steal it. April 15th, the biggest trial in human history is going to start, where they're going to try to destroy Trump. And they're going to try to steal this thing as sure as the turning of the earth. But they understand we're driving the agenda now. MAGA drives the agenda. President Trump drives the agenda, right? Not them. They're already positioning themselves in a mode of thought like an opposition party. Okay, short commercial break. Ben's on the other side. Birch Gold, times are turbulent. Every other day you're getting an all-time high, another all-time high last night, late in the evening. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Go there today and talk to Philip Patrick. Do it today. The apples in your holiday pie taste amazing, but it's not exactly the recommended 5 servings of fruits and vegetables. The Mayo Clinic says if you want to help prevent heart disease, lower blood pressure, and your cholesterol, eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, which, as you know, is almost impossible. That's why you need to check out Field of Greens. Every fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was medically selected by doctors to support your vital organs, like your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and your immune system. Yo, folks, the holidays are here and you need to stay healthy. Plus, you'll notice your skin, hair, and nails will look healthier. Field of Greens is the simplest way to get those daily fruits and veggies, and it tastes amazing. Let me get you started with 15% off your first order. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Bannon. That's promo code Bannon at fieldofgreens.com. fieldofgreens.com. Make sure you take it today. Use your agency. Action, action, action. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code Bannon.
People, when I arrived here and I saw your gracious countryside, I said to myself, I just won't be cooped up with a lot of stodgy old ministers discussing hell and damnation. So I sneaked out, and I've been doing what most of you have been doing: farming. Milking the cows, lying in the clover, and letting the joy of God's nature flow into my heart. And here's the proof: there's a happy, joyful God, a bountiful God, a generous God. Milk! Nectar and pass it along to those dear newspaper reporters so they can wash out the taste of whiskey. Tonight I feel gloriously happy. And I want you to feel happy too. We're gonna sing together, laugh together, rejoice together like carefree children of a happy God. We're gonna rejoice that inside of us lives the veritable spirit of the everlasting redeeming Christ Jesus. Belched! See how many of those dear people can match God's bountiful gift with their own offering. You darlings can't make milk, and God just won't make money.
It's happiness just to hear your wondrous message. Can I have a moment of your time? Excuse me. Excuse me.
That is from, I think it's 1960, I think it's 1960, 61. That is the movie Elmer Gantry. Right there, Sister Susan Falconer, an absolutely stunning role. I strongly recommend. That is a MAGA film. And it talks about the revivalist movement of the early 20th century. Of course, St. Clair Lewis wrote the novel to be absolutely destructive. Sinclair Lewis was the equivalent, although he was kind of a crusader for corruption, but he's equivalent a little bit to the MSNBC crowd. Amy is the character of Susan Falconer is based upon Amy Semple McPherson. And this is what Mika Brzezinski is today. She's the modern Amy Semple McPherson. She preaches to us every day of the problem of you and your religion and your faith. Why? Has nothing to do with any belief in Christianity, has nothing to do with any kind of promulgation of the gospel. It has nothing to do with making the New Jerusalem even better, more faithful, more decent, and to spread that decency throughout the world. No, it has everything to do with just raw political power. Because Ben Harnwell nailed it. they now are so fearful. They're acting like a party in opposition. Why? They've tried to destroy Trump at every aspect. You were there. You saw it. You had a ringside. You've had a ringside seat on this since, if you've been watching the show since the pandemic hit, before the first impeachment, when the first impeachment, if you've been with us for the entire time, you've seen it. You see what you see. At every step, they've tried to destroy him. And why are they trying to destroy him? And quite smart from their point of view, because they, I think, understood that one day, some of them did, we would actually be in this place. That you're seeing a revival of the American spirit. You are. I see it all the time. Is it hard? I was on John Furrier today and talking about people in the precinct strategy. It's so hard. A lot of people are dropping out. Some people are dropping out. This is hard. It's hard work. It's hard work to save a nation. It's a hard work to save a republic. It's hard work to fight for power in the most powerful nation in the history of the world. Read the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. Read the great Roman historians about the fall of the republic. This is not beanbag. And this republic is 1,000 times more powerful than the Roman Republic or the Roman Empire. We now have the ability, and you're going to have very shortly the ability to transcend man itself and play God. That's the stakes here. The stakes couldn't be higher. And what upsets them the most is the driver of the narrative is Donald J. Trump. He's the instrument. He is the instrument, and he's relentless, and he will never bend a knee ever to them. But you're in back of him. They detest you so much. They hate you so much. It is gets under their skin every second of every day that you have a voice, you have a platform, you have a movement, and you have a movement that's about to drive them from the temple. Hopefully, we won't do it as angry as Christ was when he drove them from the temple, but hey, you never know. God's will, the future will tell, right? We'll see how this develops. Okay, we're going to take a short break. Really going to have an action-packed a second hour. Got some very special guests. Ben Harnwell is going to hang with me. Want to make sure everybody, gold almost hit 2,300, 2,296, I believe. We lay out the macro every day of what's been, look, we've been with the Birch guys for a couple of years, right? 3-4 years. We told you this day was coming. Why? Because the underlying forces in the world today, in the physical world. So go to birchgold.com/Bannon today. Don't put it off. We tell you this thing, don't put it off. You got access to people, use it. Modern day holy war. Nicole Negrete takes us out back in about 90 seconds. Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest, from the online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery and ongoing care. Visit jacemedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action. That's code War Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there, do it today, check it out.